Welcome to Freshfire's weekly podcast.
Good morning, everyone. For those of you who don't know, I'm Abby. I am the prefect overseer at Freshfire. Overseeing all things prophetic and supernatural, and it's been a wild journey. It's been really fun getting to just do this, so this is just part of that journey, and it's really exciting. So you know, around this time of year I get quite reflective. Like anyone else reflective people? You know, some people are like, oh my goodness, we need to get the Christmas presents, we need to do this, and we need to get up the tree. I'm like, get me a cabin in the woods somewhere. Let me just reflect on my whole life and let me just sort myself out ready for the new year. But hey, you know, we can't all do that. Got to be here and doing this. So, but I like to be reflective and I like to kind of look at, okay, God, whoops. What have you been saying this year? What is yet to be fulfilled and what's coming and how do I position myself for that? So I guess this morning is just me inviting you guys to join in that kind of reflective process of what can we do now to make the most of 2019. And I think so many times, and I think I said it last week, we hear so much about, oh my goodness, next year is going to be the year of this, and it's going to be the year of this, and it's going to be the, and we're like, woo, woo, pumped, and we'll just leap over the last month of December and be like, Christmas, and we'll just stuff our faces and then, okay, we're ready. Like 2 days before January 1st, then we'll get ourselves ready. We'll get our hearts sorted and ready. And it's like, whew, we better be in a line quick, quick, quick. And it's like, actually, I feel like the Lord is inviting us into a process where we take hold of that which he's called us to and that which he's already spoken about 2019 and really just grasp it and see the fullness of it. Because anyone else not want to miss a single thing that God is doing? And I think now more than ever, we've got to know what he's saying. We've got to know what he's doing. And, you know, I've grown up in church, and one thing I've noticed about Christmas time is, you know, yes, it's a holiday and people have time off school and off work, but for some reason, not everyone, but I've seen it a lot, they seem to take a holiday from God. And I remember growing up being like, what? Like, you love Jesus all this time, and then Christmas comes, and it's like, oh, let's just let our guards down. Let's, like, start compromising, and let's start doing this. And it's like, yeah, I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. I don't think we're supposed to have time off in the kingdom of God. You know, we can rest, and we can enjoy time with family, but God is still speaking, and God is still moving. And let's not take a break from God and what he's doing just because it's Christmas. Because, you know, all this stuff is kind of artificial anyway, you know, and we need to get back on focusing all about what Jesus is doing. So how can we position for a new decade? We know 2020 is a brand new decade, and that is significant in itself. Like, we're entering, we've had a decade completed, and now we're entering into a new decade. And so before we hear all of this stuff about 2020 and about it being the year of this and it being the year of that, we'll hear that in the new year. Like, God is already speaking, and I think I'll be sharing, and probably Adam and maybe some of the others will be sharing what we feel like God is saying for 2020. But let's just backtrack a bit. Before we hear about what he's saying for the nation, before we hear about all that stuff, I feel like God is just inviting us to know what he's saying for you personally. And just ask him in this next month, Lord, what is it that you're announcing over my life for 2020? What is it that I need to position myself for? And then ask him, Lord, is there anything that's going to hinder my progress? Is there anything that's going to hinder me stepping into that next level or, you know, taking hold of that next thing? Just ask him. Because it's great hearing words from all these people, and I've heard so many words for 2020 already. But if we don't know what God is saying for us personally, then actually sometimes all of these words can actually be just confusing. Because one prophet's saying this, and one person's saying this, and one person's saying this, and one, and you're like, well, which is it? Like, I don't know. But I feel like God wants to just anchor us and invite us into a place where it's like, you know what? all this stuff might be said about 2020, but God, I know that this is what you're announcing over my life, and I'm going to step into it, and I'm going to see it fulfilled. And I feel like we need to just know the times and seasons like never before. There's a scripture in Daniel 2, verse 21 that says, "He changes times and seasons, disposing some kings and establishing others. He gives wisdom to the wise, and he imparts knowledge to those with understanding." And, you know, God's calendar is different to our calendar. I think he's gracious with us when we put all these, you know, like 2020 and, you know, spring, summer, autumn, winter. To him, it's just times and seasons. And he brings order and he raises kings and he brings them down and he gives wisdom. And to God, his calendar is very different to our calendar. And so I feel like there needs to be, yes, we're excited for 2020. Yes, 2019, there's been so much stuff happen. But actually, we need to know the times and the seasons of God so that we don't miss what he's doing. And so the Jewish New Year, anyone follow the Jewish New Year at all? No one? Hands up. Yep, a few, a couple in the room. The Jewish New Year is actually so important. This year is the year 5790. Again, in the Jewish year, it's a new decade. And it is been said over this next Jewish New Year that it is the year of the mouth. And I just find it really interesting that there's a lot about 2020 being 2020 vision and sight and all of this stuff. And at the same time, it's also the year of the mouth. And so you've got the sight and the speaking at the same time. And right back in the creation story, I feel like God models exactly how it is, should be, when we're speaking. You know, he creates, he goes, stars, sky, land, sea, fish. And it just creates. And I feel like that model is so easy to just skip over and be like, you know, yay, he's God, he created the skies and he's created the sea and he separated the waters and he separated all of this stuff. But actually, I feel like when we really look at it, is God modeling to us, like, this is how it's meant to be done. You know how parents do with their children? It's like, here's how you do this. Like, I'll do it, and then you do it. Watch and see, oh, look, it's good. Now you do it and see that it's good. And I feel like God is inviting us into such a place where we realize the weight of what is coming out of our mouths, because what we speak will create. And I feel like there's this this challenge, and we've all been challenged as a team, and you know, Grace shared the other week all about the, you know, the word of God and releasing the word of God, but also being so careful about what comes out of our mouths, because we're going to create. And as we're going into a new decade, what we sow in now with our words, we will see come to pass in this next decade. We'll see, you know, there's this thing of seed time harvest. We'll sow the seeds and then there'll be time and then there'll be harvest. Will your future self and will the future generations to come benefit and be thankful for what you sowed in now, in this moment? Because it will create and it's forming history and it's forming lives. And we can either speak the truth of God and the life of God and the resurrection power and his hope and his just fruit and faithfulness, or we can just speak destruction. And I feel like we've got to be so careful more than ever of what is coming out of our mouths. Like some stuff that you used to be able to get away with in the last season, it's not okay in this season. Some of the jokes and sarcasm, me, I'm so sarcastic. And even the Lord has been like, not anymore. Not anymore. Can you start saying? Because it's what is in the heart. And I feel like sometimes we say stuff through sarcasm that's kind of like, it's the truth and we're just kind of slipping something in. And it's like, actually, we've got to be so guarded of what's coming out of our mouths. Because if we know the times and seasons of God, we will know that we can't just speak in trash anymore. I tell you, take 1 week even and start noticing the stuff that's coming out of your mouth. And you'll be so surprised. Oh, I'm so tired. Oh, I'm so done with today. Oh, that person's so annoying. What is that? That is so much death coming out of our mouths, and we'll start to fulfill that which we're speaking out. You know, it creates. Everything we speak creates. There was not a moment in the Garden of Eden when God spoke and it didn't create something. You know, it's like this, create. And so let's be guarded over what we are saying in our mouths. 2020, I've heard so much about sight. And I think it's like the most obvious prophetic word that everyone will just probably hop on. Woo, 2020 vision. Like, I want to know why. Why is it 2020 vision? What for? But I'll unpack that in the new year. We don't have time now. but I feel like as well as a cleaning up of our mouths, there's a cleaning up of our sight. Luke 6 verse 41 says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" How easy is it to be like, oh my goodness, that person. Woo! When they said that, when they did that, ooh, they need to repent. And God's like, hello, look at that huge big plank. My goodness, I could build a ship in your eye. It's that big. You know, it's so easy to just look at other people and look, oh yeah, look at that. Oh, that person might be struggling with that. That, for one, is not God's heart. And that's bringing judgment where judgment is not due. You know, we're not supposed to be judging. Again, it says judge and you'll be judged, all of that. But I feel like God is just going to clean up our eyes so much that we'll stop seeing the dirt and all the stuff going on in other people's lives, and we'll start to see the gold, and we'll start to see the destiny, and we'll start to see the life and the fruit that God has put in them, so that when we speak to them, we can call it forth. I remember I'm in Bible college, and it's an interesting environment to be in. And this person, I'd only met them for like a day, and we was just chatting, and like, I'm a prophet, I talk about the prophetic a lot, but I met her one day, and we was just chatting, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Genesis and the prophetic, and this is so exciting. Anyway, next minute, she puts her hand up in front of like this whole auditorium, like group of people, and she goes, yeah, so Martin, like, he's like such a teacher, and you can hear that when he speaks. Abby, she's a prophet. And I'm like, in front of all these people, like, this is, oh, they don't understand this stuff, like, you can just feel the room, like, what? And then the lecturer goes, okay then, give us a prophetic perspective on Genesis 1 and 2. I was like, oh Jesus, help me. Like, that is like my worst nightmare, having to do that. But, you know, God came and he spoke, and I just began to speak about the prophetic and how when we speak to people, we create and we form them for their future. And just like in Genesis 1 and 2, when God is breathing, we carry that breath. And so when we prophesy, we're breathing that same breath that creates and gives life. And the lecturer was like, oh my goodness. Wow, I love that. Yeah, because when I got prophesied over once, it felt like everything that was dead just suddenly came to life. I'm like, this is the prophetic. It's what it's about, speaking and creating from God's heart. And it's just so exciting. And so I feel like God is bringing us into that place, even in the prophetic, of just stripping all of the, you know, baggage that we've seemed to have put on the prophetic, and bringing it back to conversations with God and releasing his heart to his people. That's what it's about, a conversation. Here's what you're saying. Okay, here's what I think. Here's what you're saying. Okay, yeah, what do you think about this, God? What do you think about this person's life? What are you saying? That's amazing. I'm going to release it. And then you form them for the future. I mean, that's a bit of a tangent, but it just excites me. As you know. the next verse, Matthew 18, verse 9, says, "And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out, throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fires of hell." Just a nice lighthearted verse for us this morning. But it's true, the concept of that. You know what? If your eyes are causing you to stumble, if your eyes are leading you into sin, take it out. And it doesn't mean actually gouge out your eyes. Let's not do that. But it's removing the things that have captured your gaze. You've got to remove those things. It's not gouging out eyeballs. It's not throwing them in the bin. We don't, you know what I mean? It's not about that. It's about whatever has captured your gaze. Whatever you're looking at more than you're looking at God, get rid of it. Get rid. Because it talks about being thrown into the fires of hell. And that's not to bring fear. It's just, come on, like, wake up. Another verse. 1 Samuel 12, verse 16 says, "Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes." And I feel like that scripture is key for us right now. This last month, I feel like God is just saying, stand still and see this great thing that I have set before you. See this path that is ahead. See what I'm going to do in 2020, but stand still. And there's something about, you know, there's verses about be still and know that I am God. But I feel like God is really bringing us into a place of rest where we just stop and we're able to rest and go, oh, wow, God, this is who you are. We're not asking him for anything. We're not striving for anything. We're just going, oh, this is who you are. And just being still and letting that rest in who he is. You know, the Lord spoke to me a few months ago about, you know, I always love this thing of cabin in the woods. You'll probably hear me say it so many times. I'm like, just take me to the woods. Take me to the mountains, you know. Because I just love that thought of having that rest and that stillness with God. But the Lord kind of flipped you the other way around and was like, what happens if I build that rest within you? So you don't have to just come away from stuff to find rest. But in everything you do, there is a stillness and there is a rest and there is a confidence in who I am in you. And I'm like, oh yes, Lord, I want that. And I feel like God wants to build that in our hearts, and not just the head knowledge. I mean, how many of us know like names of God and we know scriptures about God, but how many of us know him here so deep and so close? And I feel like there's that shift happening where we don't just know him with our heads, but we know him and can rest in who he is in our hearts in such a deep way that it wrecks us and we can never be the same again. You know, most of my prayer times at the moment is just like, oh God, this is who you are. I think there's different seasons. Sometimes I'm like praying and declaring and, you know, got my sword out and going wild and warfare. But at the moment, it's just like, oh, you're so beautiful, God. You're so glorious. You're so wonderful. And just being in his presence. And I tell you, I've just been wrecked. I don't think I've cried so much as I have in this moment when you're just like, oh, this is who you are and we can never be the same again. When we truly, truly see him in our hearts. And I feel like he wants to just shift us into that place. And so eyes to see, ears to hear, brings our hearts to understand. And I feel like that is what God's doing in this year of the mouth, but also the year of sight. What he's doing in the church is bringing the both together. I've noticed it in the prophetic. It's like, oh, here's the people who see, and here's the people that hear. And it's like, well, how are we going to get a full picture if you're seeing and you're hearing, but no one's bringing this together? And I feel like what God's doing for this next decade is bringing those two things together so that where, I guess, in the history of the prophetic, there's people just been releasing stuff all over the place and it's brought confusion and people have hardened their hearts to the prophetic and stuff. I feel like what God is doing is bringing those two things together so that the church can have a bigger picture of the times and seasons that we're in. And it's because God wants to speak to us. He wants to partner with us. He wants to co-labor with us. And he's like, okay, well, this hasn't worked. They've kind of, you know, gone off on a weird thing with this. Let's bring it together so that the hearts of the people can begin to understand more what he's doing. And when we see, I feel like there's going to be this seeing, speaking, and then becoming. And we're going to see something, we're going to see what God's doing, we're going to speak it, and we're going to see it created. We're going to see it, we're going to speak it, and it's going to create. See, speak, create, over and over and over. It's going to become, we're going to see things just form in front of us, and we're like, what? How did this happen? And it's because we're coming into a place where we're not just hearing, and we're not just seeing, and we're not just speaking, rambling like the pagans, but we're seeing and going, oh my goodness, this is what he wants to do. We're speaking it because we've seen it, and then it's creating. And God wants to make us more whole and more understanding of his presence. Job 32 verse 8 says, but it is the spirit in the person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. Again, when we speak, we breathe, and it gives understanding. And so that's what we're going to see. So I want to challenge us, what has captured our gaze? Because as I've just been chewing over these last few moments, it feels like, you know, maybe the enemy's captured our gaze. Maybe the enemy got too big in the last season. Maybe our job has captured our gaze. Because listen to this. Psalm 115, 3-8. I tell you, this is, whoo. They're the best kind of verses. I love them. Where you're like, oh my goodness, I have to change everything. Anyway, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound in their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Oh my goodness, I mean, we could go on that verse all day. But could it be that if we aren't seeing or hearing or able to step into the things of God, could it be that these idols have captured our gaze? Because what we gaze upon, we begin to look like. What we gaze upon manifests in our lives, and idols are deaf and mute and blind and cannot hear and cannot see. And so could it be that if we're having problems with seeing and hearing and being able to move forward, could it be that we need to have a shift in our gaze? Could it be that our problems got too big and so we're manifesting that? Could it be we're looking at the darkness too much and so we're manifesting darkness? You know? And I feel like the Lord wants to shift our focus on him, because guess what? When we're in his presence, all of our senses come alive. When you see him, your eyes open, your ears open. You're able to see the way forward. You're able to move and break out of the restrictions and the limitations. And what we gaze upon will affect what we speak and release and therefore create. And so if you're noticing in your life, you know what, I'm declaring all this stuff, but I'm not seeing anything. Some of it might be selfish ambition and you think it's God. But it's an idol that you've brought up in your life, and you're like, oh God, you know, I wanna be, you know, prophet to the nations. Oh, I wanna be the greatest business person ever, and I want my business to thrive. And it's like, yeah, that's okay. But that's not where our gaze is at. Our gaze has to be on him, and all of that stuff will flow from that place, and all that we see of God will begin to speak over our businesses, over our callings, over our destinies, over our workplaces, over our schools, over our city. That will begin to flow as a secondary product of us just gazing upon him. And I feel like God wants to just capture our gaze again. Bring us back to him being our one true love. You know, we sang it this morning. All our affection, all our devotion poured out at the feet of Jesus. I mean, how many can say that all of your affection was poured out this morning? How many of us could actually say all of our devotion, we was laying it at the feet of Jesus this morning? I feel like we've forgotten how to do that. We've forgotten how to just come into his presence and not ask for anything and not come seeing these idols and going, Lord, like I need you to move these idols, or I need to, you know, enhance these idols. You know, we've forgotten as the church how to just come into his presence and love on him. It's so simple, but it's such a truth that is going to be foundational for setting us into this next year. So what is God announcing over our lives in a year of the mouth? what is he showing you for your life in this year of 2020 vision? I feel like in this time, you know, it's Christmas, and I love the name of God that is Emmanuel. He is God with us. That wrecks me. He's with us. He's not a God who is there and we're here. You know, we don't have to come into his presence and it's like, oh God, you are king and we're here and like you're wonderful and you're mighty and you're beautiful, but we're just kind of pottering and tiptoeing over here. Like, he's a God who is with us. Yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he's king, but he's also closer than our skin. When was the last time you felt God closer than your skin and getting on the inside of you and getting all around you to the point it just wrecked you in his presence? I don't see it often, but I feel like God is just bringing us into this place. You know what? There's so much coming for 2020, and I'm so excited for that. But if we don't understand that God is with us, then we won't be able to sustain that which he's calling us to do in 2020 and in this next decade. If we don't know he's close and he's with us and he loves us and he's glorious and he's beautiful and he's the king and he's the Lord and he's the mighty one who fights for us, but he's also the comforter and the defender. If we don't know all that, well, good luck in 2020, because I don't like saying good luck. We don't do luck. But you know what I'm trying to get at? We've got to have this revelation, and I feel like in the closeness of God and that gentleness of his spirit is so easy to miss. It's so easy to just miss when he's just coming and he's breathing and you can feel his breath on your skin. It's easy to miss and just go, whoa, it's a like windy day today, isn't it? And just carry on washing up or carry on doing your day-to-day lives. But I feel like God is going to start to breathe and he's going to start to press in close and he's going to start to reveal things to us that if we aren't sensitive and if our eyes are looking at the wrong things, then how will we know it's him? And I feel like with that closeness, yes, it's gentle and yes, it's just so pure and beautiful of he's just with us and we can rest in that. I feel like there's also with it, when we get close to the presence of God, there's the fear of the Lord as well that begins to expose that which is out of order and that which is out of place. And if we don't know that he's close and he loves us, when the fear of the Lord comes, which we're about to move into such a time of the fear of the Lord, and I actually believe the next move of God is one of the fear of the Lord, then we will not be able to, we won't be able to cope if we don't know that he's close and when he loves us. And so I feel like we've got to be okay with just being truly vulnerable in his presence. And when he comes close, if there's anything that's out of place, just being okay to be just like naked in our hearts before him. And sometimes it's a bit awkward and sometimes it's kind of painful and embarrassing and it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, all this stuff. But he is not there to do that. That's just our own flesh shouting. That's just our own flesh being like, I don't want you to see all of this junk. But it's necessary. It's necessary that these idols are exposed. It's necessary that our gaze is shifted. And it's necessary that our mouths get cleaned up so that we begin to speak what is on his heart and not which is destructive. And so God is inviting us to come in deeper. And I feel like we hear that so many times, but I feel like there's this exchange that's been happening as God invites us in deeper. We need to invite God to just come a little deeper in us. And you know what? That vulnerability to get in his presence and do that is sometimes one of the hardest things to do. Like, if we're honest, to just go, God, you know what? Search me. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lord, what idols do I have in my life? That can be one of the most vulnerable things that we do in his presence. But you know what? It's necessary. And so embrace it and allow God to just come in closer. So what is God announcing over this next year of your life. Know it for yourself. Before we start releasing all these words at the start of the year, spend some time just, Lord, what are you announcing? You know, this Christmas time, there was so much announcement, you know, the angels announcing the birth of Jesus, the going to the shepherds, going to these people, stars in the sky, and it's these announcements that position you to see God move in a different way. So what is he announcing, and is there anything that's going to hinder? Is there any idols that need crushing? Is your gaze just on yourself? And it just needs to get back on him and let him come close as Emmanuel, the God who is with us. So let's stand. Yes, Father. Lord, we just thank you for 2019. Lord, all that you've done and all that you even yet to do in this last month. Father, we thank you, Lord, for even every battle, Lord, every trial. We thank you because you are forging us and you're preparing us for greatness and for the next level. Father, we thank you for every victory. We thank you for every promise. We thank you for every word that has been spoken. Father, even now, Lord, I thank you for an awakening in our hearts, Lord, of that which you want to complete and stamp on fulfilled in our lives. I feel like there's such a grace to see some of these promises fulfilled, fulfilled, fulfilled. So, Father, we just thank you that you would bring to light, Lord, every word, every promise in our heart that is yet to be fulfilled for 2019. God, you are outside of time. You are outside of our calendar. You are outside of our months and years, and you can just do it in a month. And so, Father, we just position ourselves and we say, God, would you wreck us with your presence that we would never be the same again? God, wreck us with who you are. Lord, wreck us that we would just be bold and courageous. Lord, that we would be so undone and vulnerable messes in your presence. Lord, it's not about us. It's about you. So God, I thank you for a shift. Lord, for us as Fresh Fire, for us as individuals, Lord, there'll be a shift in our sight. There'll be a shift in our hearing, and there will be a shift in our understanding and our speaking. Lord, and I just thank you that where there's been hindrances in the last season, that, Father, as we position ourselves to just gaze upon you, those things are just going to fall and melt in your presence. They're going to fall before the one who has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Father, I thank you. Your plan overrides and overrules any plan of the enemies or any plan of man. Father, you have the final say over our lives. So, Father, we just position ourselves. And even now, just shake off any slumber, any distractions. You know, it's easy this time of the year to just go like and just melt and just get all floppy and we're just like, oh, we're just tired now, we'll just rest. But I feel like now's actually the time for us to be more alert and more awakened than ever. So, Father, even now, we shake off confusion. We shake off apathy. We shake off complacency. We shake off fear. We shake off confusion right now. We shake off tiredness. Lord, we shake it off. Lord, everything that's going to hinder our progress, we break agreement with it, and we shake it off, and we say, let your breath come and blow on us, that we might have understanding of the time and the season that we're in, that God, we will be positioned and ready for what you're about to do in this earth. Father, it's going to be exciting and it's going to be powerful and it's going to shake this nation again, Lord God. But start with us. Start here with our identity. Start here with our calling. Start here with sorting out our flesh. Lord, start here with crushing idols and shaking everything that can be shaken till you're on the throne of our lives again. Father, we just reset ourselves right now in the spirit. We say that there is a resetting and there is a reawakening and there is a realigning. And we declare that the ground that the enemy tried to take, we're going to take back double in this season. We're going to take it back and we're going to advance, Lord, and to the degree that we have abandoned and aligned, Father, we're going to see that acceleration that will move us into 2020. So, Father, we just thank you for that realignment and that resetting and refocusing of our gaze. Jesus, we love you. come and be on the throne of our lives. Amen.